Right, Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Good to be in the Lord's house this evening. Not going to be too long tonight. Let folks get home before the temps start dropping even more. It looks like over the next 5 days or so, it's going to be pretty cool with the lows and stuff. So my mom stayed with us during everything instead of in the fifth wheel. Fifth wheels get a little cool in the wintertime. Then we didn't want the pipes and stuff to get all messed up. Now she's in Carthage tonight with my sister and her husband and family. And she'll be staying with them through, I think, Monday or Tuesday, something like that. So that's where she's at tonight, where she'll be on Sunday. But Matthew chapter 6, going to look at the subject of forgiveness tonight. Not too long, nothing exhaustive, but had a little bit of a different direction I was going to go in tonight. And then on the drive over here, which isn't that far, it's only 15, 16 minutes, something like that. But on the drive over here, the Lord just kind of began to work in my heart on the area of forgiveness. So we're going to look at that just for a little bit. Matthew chapter 6, verses 14 through 15. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Lord, as we come before you, thank you for the opportunity to gather in your house on this midweek service. Thank you, Lord, for providing the health needed for your people over these last few days. Thank you, Lord, for taking care of us. Maybe we had to do without some of these modern-day conveniences that we've all become accustomed to, but we thank you, Lord, for taking care of us, providing for us throughout this this storm. And I just ask you, Lord, to be with those who may still be without power or have different things going on, maybe those even outside of our church. And I just ask you, Lord, just to be with them, the community, and different things. Who knows what all folks have had to deal with through limbs falling and branches and trees and such. Just ask you, Lord, just to be with them. Ask you to be with those, the linemen and stuff, those traveling and away from their families. Ask you to be with them, keep them safe, and give them safe travels back to wherever they traveled from to be able to be a help to us in this area. Ask you, Lord, to be with us tonight as your word is open. Ask you to help us in the area of forgiveness, maybe show us some things tonight, help remind us of some things. Ask you to give me the words you'd have me to say. In Jesus' name, amen. We'll look at the word trespass first. The word trespass means to commit any offense or to do any act that injures or annoys another, to violate any rule of rectitude to the injury of another. Now, we all have rules if we think about this, and this is what was coming to my mind in part today. We all have personal rules about us, certain things we just don't like. And it may not necessarily apply to somebody else. What we like and don't like varies by the person. So we all have, to some degree, personal rules. You have personal rules to where you say, you know what, I don't want anybody to say this to me or that to me or because I don't like that. Somebody else might not mind, but you don't like that. And there may be things that you don't want done to you, or you may not want things done in your presence, so to speak. You have personal laws, so to speak, personal rules, and some may have more than others, but we all have them. We have rules that surround who we are. We may even call them boundaries. Now, I would say boundaries are a good thing to have. We have boundaries that are strategically placed around our hearts and minds, and they're placed there to protect what is important to us, mainly our peace or our contentment or our comfort. You know, there are certain people, tragically, that I have created boundary around me to protect me from them. Perhaps you have people like that also in your life that you say, you know what, I value my peace more than I do their company. I value my contentment more than I do their company. I value my comfort more than I do their company. Now, there will be times that others will cross these boundaries that we have. They will trespass. And the Lord's burdened my heart in the area of forgiveness. Now, by the way, when it comes to trespass, you know what makes it harder for mankind than it does, for instance, property? When you consider property, there will be markers at times or stakes. You know it's the property line. You'll see no trespassing sign. There's somebody saying, this is not yours. This is not your property. I don't want you trespassing on my property. So it can be clear at times when it comes to property. But at times with people, sometimes their boundaries can be unclear. In part, that's why it's important to state your boundaries. It's good and honest, and especially in marriage, to have an open and honest relationship. Say, you know what? I don't like that. And it's healthy for both to communicate that, not just the man all the time. Hey, I don't like that. And then the ladies marching around to his rules. But even for the ladies to say, hey, I don't like that. I don't like it when this happens. Now, it's important, again, in open and honest and healthy relationships that there be clear boundaries. You know, and this is important because we can't go around upset at people who are stepping on things that we've never told them, hey, you're stepping on that. So when we create boundaries and we say, hey, I don't like this, it gives people a fair opportunity to know what they're doing ahead of time. And the Lord's burdened my heart in the area of forgiveness, because if trespasses are a common occurrence, then forgiveness should also be a common occurrence. Or else we become burdened down by the trespasses of others. Now, there'll be times in our life where we will feel, as the Bible puts it, trodden under the foot of men. You go here, you feel stepped on. You go here, you feel stepped on. You go there, you feel stepped on. You feel like you are trodden under the foot of men. And if we're not careful, we will get all bitter and out of shape over what people are doing to us and their trespasses. And sometimes, by the way, they might not even know they're doing it. When we consider forgiveness can be easy. It can also be difficult. It all depends on the degree of the trespass. There are things that somebody could do to me tonight, and I would forgive them tonight and probably not even think about it tomorrow. There are other things somebody could do to me tonight or to my wife or to my kids, and forgiveness would be more difficult. But regardless of the degree of trespass, we're commanded to forgive. Ephesians 4:32, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. We see some commands that precede the command to forgive. Be ye kind. Kind means proceeding from tenderness or goodness of heart. And also, we see tenderhearted, which means very susceptible of the softer passions of love, pity, or kindness. If you remember when we went through Colossians, we looked at how charity was the bond of perfectness, how it held everything else together, which means if you love God, it means if you love people, everything else is going to be easier. And we see here in the area of forgiveness that if you are first kind and then you are second tenderhearted, forgiveness is going to come a whole lot easier. I ask you tonight, it's not a trick question, but can you and I be too tenderhearted? You know, there's a danger to being tenderhearted. Now, it is a good thing to be tenderhearted, and we do have a command to be tenderhearted, but there is a danger of being tenderhearted. And that's the possibility of being too tenderhearted. We'll look at an example, 2 Chronicles 13:7. And there are gathered unto him vain men, the children of Belial, and have strengthened themselves against Rehoboam, the son of Solomon. When Rehoboam was young and tenderhearted and could not withstand them. How many times, by testimony tonight, for one, if you are tenderhearted, there was a time where perhaps your tenderheartedness was trodden on. And because you were tenderhearted, you didn't say nothing. Didn't say a thing. We see where Rehoboam was young, but he was also tenderhearted, and as a result, he could not withstand the enemy. Ephesians 6:13, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. So if we are to put on the whole armor of God for the purpose of withstanding, and if being too tenderhearted leads to a lack of withstanding, we saw this through the case of Rehoboam, then we need a little heart armor too. Now, I'm not saying be hard-hearted. I'm just saying we can't be so tenderhearted either that we fail to withstand. We also can't be so tenderhearted that we allow everything to get to us. There was a time that was me. That was me, and I'm a whole, and the Lord's used the ministry. We've talked before at times about body hardening in the Marines and martial arts, where we would kick and we would hit each other in specific areas because, you needed to be body hardened in those areas. Certain areas in the thigh, you kick somebody and they can't put any weight on it, on that particular leg. So it's like, you know what? So we would kick each other in those spots on the legs over and over and over and over. We would lay down on the ground and we would have our legs out, and somebody would kick the insides of our thighs. And we would do that in martial arts training also. And we would do body strikes on each other, for the purpose of body hardening. And you know what? The Lord had a lot of hardening to do on me, and he's used the ministry to do it. Because there was a time I let everything get to me. I let every little thing that somebody said get to me. So again, what's the balance? Be tenderhearted, but maintain a sense of good and right. Be tenderhearted, but maintain your strength. Be tenderhearted, but be willing to fight when necessary. Be kind and tenderhearted are biblical commands, but they can be taken to the extreme if they interfere with your ability to withstand. So be tenderhearted enough to forgive, but not to the point that you're unable to withstand. Don't be so tenderhearted that you fall victim. How many times does that happen? I cannot tell you the times. And I learned real quick through the RU ministry. If it were up to me, and it's not, it's up to the Lord. I would say for those who are going into the ministry, to go through the hardest side of the ministry first. And then you'll enjoy church people a lot more. You'll enjoy them a whole lot more. You spend all your times with the drunks and the drug addicts, who just place faith and trust in Christ, and you deal with their issues, and you deal with their baggage, and you deal with their raw honesty. They'll just tell you like it is. They'll tell you straight up like it is. It just don't matter to them. They'll tell you the way they tell each other in the street. And you know what? And the Lord used it. The Lord used that, I'll tell you. But the Lord has different routes and stuff for everybody. I do recognize that in terms of the path that the Lord leads folks in the ministry and to the pulpit. At times it's unique with different ones. But you can at times be so tenderhearted that you fall victim. So kindness and tenderheartedness precedes forgiveness. because these two attributes help us forgive. So how are we to forgive? See, God's forgiveness extends beyond what we are capable of in forgiveness. Notice the definition of forgiveness. It is to be noted that pardon, like forgive, may be followed by the name or person and by the offense. But remit can be followed by the offense only. We forgive or pardon the man, but we do not remit him. So it would be like this. I'll say, for an example, I'll pick on Brother John here tonight. Let's suppose in some way that Brother John trespasses me. He does something to me, and as a result, for me to forgive him, it would sound like this. I forgive Brother John, but I can't remit him. Remit is to remove the action. We cannot remove the action of others. The action is there. It happened. There's no doubt about it. I know it. They know it. We cannot remit others, but we can forgive them. We can treat them as though they're not guilty. So those who trespass against us need to see the love of Christ. They need to see us forgive as Christ. And the hope is that through that love, through that forgiveness, and through that grace, they are no longer trespassers. Now, if they continually trespass, you forgive them, as you'll be right with God if you do. You'll also be right with you if you forgive. You know, one of the things I think about quite a bit, then we'll move on. I think one of the best things to be said about somebody is that they can be alone and be all right with themselves. You can be alone with your thoughts. You can be alone with who you truly are. Some people can't do that. I was just reading here recently how there are those who are running and running and running and running and running. And always amongst society and always having people around them. And at the heart of it is that they cannot be to themselves. If they are to themselves, they start looking inward. They start reflecting upon themselves. Those things that they're trying to suppress starts coming back up and they start thinking about them. They start meditating on them. They cannot be by themselves. I think it's an amazing thing. And we see it sometimes, even with the widows in this church, and it's amazing. And it's a testament, too, also at times of the marriage that they had. They had a marriage where two became one, and then when one leaves, they're still balanced after the fact. That is an amazing thing to me. When some folks, they could go through their whole marriage, their whole life, and then through death, be given to an extreme of some sort. Weren't balanced out. Can't live with themselves. It's an amazing thing. When you forgive, you'll be right with God if you do. But you'll also be right with you. That's an interesting thing, just to be right with yourself. To be able to sit back at the end of the day, say, I'm right with God, and my conscience is clear. I'm right with myself, too. And I tell you, I have been all out against God, and I've been all out against myself and everybody else, too. I've been there. It's important. Now, as far as the trespasser goes, they refuse to no longer trespass against you, and they spit in the face of your love, your forgiveness, your grace. Then you turn the trespasser over to the consequences of their actions. But you forgive. I preached on forgiveness once, and a lady came up to me after the service and said she wanted to meet with me. I sat on the front row with her, and she said, Pastor, I was married to the devil for nearly 20 years or however long it was, and I hate him. He mentally, emotionally, physically abused me. I can never forgive him. Now, when you hear a story like that, you know she's been hurt. She's speaking from a place of hurt and brokenness. And even though their separation had been well over a decade, I said, essentially, I understand you've been hurt, and rightfully so, but will you pray with me that the Lord would bring you to the place of being willing to forgive? I know you're not willing to forgive right now, but will you consider praying with me that the Lord would bring you to the place of being willing to forgive? And she said, yes. I backed off after that conversation. The Lord began to work, and it was maybe a year later she wanted to meet with me. After the morning service, we sat down together. Maybe it was the evening service. I don't remember. But it was on the front row once again, and she could barely get the words out through her sobs. But she said, Pastor, I forgive him. She didn't even have to say who, because I remembered. We'd been praying for her, and Sarah had helped her. And we praised the Lord and celebrated that victory in her life right on the front pew of the church. A few weeks later, she stood up. She shared the testimony at testimony time on Sunday night and shared with the church how she hated her ex-husband. But through the word, through the teaching and preaching and prayer, she forgave him. Now, she couldn't remit him. The action had been done. The separation had taken place. It was the consequences of his actions, but she could forgive him as she did. And this was a victory, but it was hers to share. Right now, even now, I carry the private victories of others. But it's their victories to share. Some of them I'd like to share, but they're not mine to share. They're personal victories. When I tell you at times that the Lord's working, it's from a behind-the-scenes look. When I tell you sometimes that the devil's working, it's from a behind-the-scenes look. Stories shared, battles faced, and battles won. Taking part in those battles, the lows I'm fighting with them and alongside them, but also the battles won as I've been fighting with them and alongside them. My wife right there with me. Pastor, it is hard, but it's worth it. Nearly any man could be a preacher, but few can pastor. And I didn't understand this early on. And the Lord had to develop within me the pastor's heart because I wanted to be an evangelist. That's what I wanted within my heart. I wanted to be an evangelist. I wanted to travel. I wanted to preach. And then I wanted to leave. I did not want to have people under my authority. Or to come in, preach, and leave. Then the Lord began to develop within me a pastor's heart through the RU ministry and through seeing people grow and spending week in and week out with them and ministering to them and counseling and praying for them and doing things for them and helping them and seeing the growth and seeing change in people's hearts and lives. I say, you know what? It's hard. It is hard. But it is very rewarding. And evangelists don't get to see that as much. I believe even Brother Thrift said recently when he came through, evangelists, they come in and preach and hardly ever do they hear back about the meeting and what happened in it. They don't really get to experience that. I know evangelists who have said, I'm enjoying evangelism now. They're not pastoring anymore. They're enjoying evangelism. Pastoring's tough. It is. The lady that I'm referring to had been carrying that weight of unforgiveness for over a decade, I believe it was. And the Lord set her free from it when she gave it to him. And I can tell you, yeah, there was spots after that, and I won't go into everything, but there for a while, her countenance changed after that. You know, at times, the spirit of unforgiveness, it'll rob us of our joy in the Lord. And I could give you testimony after testimony of people who throughout the years in the ministry who were weighed down by harboring unforgiveness. You can't remit the actions done, but you can give the offender and the offense to the Lord. You're essentially saying, Lord, this is who it is. And this is what they've done. And I'm giving it all to you. And help me walk in victory. Again, Matthew 6, verses 14 through 15. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses.